One of these things is not like the other. One of these things is not quite the same. Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principles and Policy. And along with me today is our co-host, the Vice Chairman of the Institute, my fellow analyst, a very good friend, Chuck Michaels.
Well, I'm glad to be with you, Barry. I just wonder what your mom did with the money your dad gave her for your singing lessons.
Well, what, she was smart. She realized that that'd be just throwing good money after bad, and so she put it up and saved it for my college, I think.
There you go.
I didn't major in music or voice, as if you tell.
Performance arts. No, thank you.
Along with that, we've been looking this week at some political things, Chuck, but I want to kind of take us in a little bit different direction today. Yes, what we're going to be talking about does have some politics involved in it, both in its initial inception and in its future unwinding of how things are going to go with this. But I did the poor singing, and I hope we still have people listening after that. They didn't turn their radios off in horror and disgust, because I wanted to use that to say not all things that look alike are alike, and that's being proven by science. As a matter of fact, recently, Dr. Neil Whitehead, who worked for the United Nations, which we won't hurt him too much for that, and the International Atomic Energy Agency, has also been looking at a number of different studies because he worked for the New Zealand government as a scientific researcher. And what he's been looking at are 8 major studies of identical twins. Now, Chuck, you're not a twin, are you?
I am not.
Okay. I'm not either. As a matter of fact, I'm an only child. So thankfully, there's not two of me out there singing as badly as I am. and everybody should be grateful for that. But basically, identical twins, for those of you who don't know, are twins that have the same genes or the same basic DNA structure. They're nurtured in equal prenatal conditions. In other words, they're both in the womb at the same time. And basically, as you look at these studies and you look at things that these identical twins do, oftentimes they have all the same tastes, design. Maybe that's because their parents, you know, dress them up the same, et cetera. But the one thing that we found out from these studies, and these studies were done in the United States, Australia, Scandinavia, over the last 20 years, one of the things they figured out is what's not in the genes. In other words, and this is what Dr. Neil Whitehead has put forward in a paper, is that there is no gay gene. Because of all of these major studies of identical twins, genetics is, at best, Dr. Whitehead says, a minor factor. And he says, so basically, if homosexuality is caused by genetics or prenatal conditions and one twin has homosexual inclinations, then the co-twin should also have the same inclinations. And he said, well, it ought to be 100% because they have identical DNA. But the study reveals that that's not true. As a matter of fact, if one of the twins in a set has same-sex attraction, that's the real technical term for it, then the chances the co-twin have it is about 11% for men. So a little over 1 in 10 times would the other twin have the same type of attraction. And for women, it's only 14% if it's two female identical twins. Chuck, I think that's fairly solid evidence that homosexuality is not genetic. And since these studies were done over a longitudinal period and in different environments, I don't think you can get much different than Scandinavia, the U.S., and Australia as far as geographics, demographics, or whatever.
Well, let's talk about why that is for a second. Okay, I'll explain that I have some expertise in this, although it's been a long time since college and I didn't like genetics all that much. But I am a biochemist, so I get this from a statistical biochemical standpoint. Let's put it this way. Twins have an exact copy of one another's DNA because, when I say twins, I mean identicals, not fraternals. Identicals have an exact copy of each other's DNA, and the reason for that is they started out as one egg, which split.
Okay.
So they are mirror images. That's why they look so much alike. Why, when you first meet twins, you very often can't tell them apart. Now, usually after you know a set of twins for a while, you begin to be able to tell them apart. Personality things, slight differences in the way they look for one reason or another, maybe a scars or slight developmental differences. But the fact is, they pretty much look, sound, act alike. Very often, they have such a bond that think so much alike that they can tell what the other one is thinking. and they can finish sentences and those kinds of things. People say it's a psychic bond. Nonsense. It's the way their brains work are virtually the same.
Yeah, the wiring is all the same.
Yeah, exactly. They're all wired up pretty much the same. Slight differences, like I say. I knew a pair of twins in high school, and when you first met them, they were difficult to tell apart, but later, differences in personality. Fraternal twins are actually two different eggs that are fertilized, so they don't share the same copy. So that's not what they're talking about in this study. They're talking about identicals. An 11% correlation, one twin having the same sex, and only 11% of the siblings also having the same sex, or 14%. And actually, in other studies, the numbers are much lower. That indicates that it is not a genetic wiring issue, that it is some behavioral issue.
Well, and that's what Dr. Whitehead gets at in his study. He notes, it says, because identical twins are always genetically identical, homosexuality cannot be genetically dictated. He says, no one is born gay, unquote. He says, the predominant things that create homosexuality in one identical twin and not in the other have to be post-birth factors. He calls them non-shared factors, things that happen to one twin but not the other, or a personal response to an event by one of the twins and not the other. So he says, for example, one twin might have exposure to pornography or sexual abuse, but not the other. This may have happened because of some external force that was exerted upon one of the two of these identical twins. Now, Chuck, that's something that, ladies and gentlemen, you're only going to hear this here, and we found this information, this study, which was on a blog site for a pastor out in California who happened to catch it and put it up, and then it was on an aggregator that Chuck and I utilized called the Aquila Report. Because you didn't hear about this study coming out, Chuck. The major MSM news media didn't trumpet the idea of a study that shows, well, fairly significantly, that there is no gay gene and that same-sex attraction is caused by external factors. Funny how the main news media didn't cover it. Mainly didn't even hear it on conservative radio. To be quite honest about it, I don't remember hearing about it.
No.
But that's the reason why people listen to our program, Chuck, because we dig this stuff up and we find it. There are interesting things to learn from this study. And Dr. Whitehead says he's struck by how fluid and changeable sexual identity can be. And he says this, and I quote, neutral academic surveys show that there is substantial change. About half of the homosexual bisexual population in a non-therapeutic environment moves toward heterosexuality over a lifetime. About 3% of the present heterosexual population once firmly believed themselves to be homosexual or bisexual. So he says orientation's not set in concrete. Now, that's where I would probably part ways with him just slightly, because I believe that when God said that he made them male and female and he made them good, that was made that way. Now, as far as what happens with the debilitating effects of sin and temptations and those desires that are left unchecked and not self-governed, or governed by Scripture, those things can happen. But he says oftentimes these changes, and he says, and most changes in the orientation are toward exclusive heterosexuality. So in other words, if somebody, some young person has gone out there and they've dabbled in homosexual practice or maybe engaged in it for quite a while, that over time, about half of those people are going to move back to heterosexuality because, well, Chuck, let's just put it this way, that's the way they're wired.
Yeah, exactly. And what's interesting about this are a couple of sentences in this article. Even more remarkable, most of the changes occur without counseling or therapy. These changes are not therapeutically induced, but happen naturally in life, some very quickly, Dr. Whitehead observes. Most changes in sexual orientation are towards exclusive heterosexuality.
Now, I thought it was very interesting because in this article, which, and let's be good here, let's quote the article. This is an article by Mark Ellis called Identical Twin Studies Prove Homosexuality is Not Genetic. Mr. Ellis sums it up and he says, numbers of people who have changed toward exclusive heterosexuality are greater than current numbers of bisexuals and homosexuals combined. In other words, ex-gays outnumber actual gays. Now, you wouldn't see that from the mainstream news media. As a matter of fact, it would be paraded as exactly the opposite, that those who have left the bondage of homosexual behavior and found new hope and new life in their heterosexual ideation outnumber homosexuals. See, that goes against the mean that both the homosexual activists and the mainstream media are trying to set for us in this country.
Well, there's a very telling part of what this doctor has written, or at least Mr. Ellis has written about what the doctor says. Listen to this. The fluidity is even more pronounced among adolescents, that is, between same-sex and opposite-sex attraction. As Bierman and Brucker's study demonstrated, they found that from 16 to 17 years old, if a person had a romantic attraction to the same sex, almost all had switched 1 year later. The authors, he says, this is a quote, were pro-gay, and they commented that the only stability was among the heterosexuals, who stayed the same year after year. Adolescents are a special case, generally changing their attraction from year to year. Okay, what does that tell you about how people are wired? What does that say to you? Because
it's fairly clear that that means that people are wired to heterosexuality, and it's only by getting their wires crossed or short-circuited in some way through external stimuli, or maybe say the affirmation of a trusted adult authority figure, that this situation happens.
Let me ask you a question. If article says if adolescents are a special case, generally changing their attractions from year to year, what would be the impetus for telling them that homosexuality is good and normal and that you shouldn't be ashamed to practice that particular practice and you shouldn't let anyone try to change you back to a more normal sexual orientation?
Well, that's to get someone to engage in experimentation.
And to stay there. So this exposes far more than even maybe the author who wrote the piece understands.
Yes.
Because I'm not sure the author of this piece understands that. He may not see it in that light. This is near the end of the article. He doesn't really make any commentary on that particular way of thinking about it.
Well, that's why we're here, Chuck. We dig into this and look at it from various different angles. And of course, this is an angle we can take. But the top line on this is that homosexuality is not genetic, or else these studies would have gone completely the other direction, and that it takes some kind of trauma or external stimulus or coaching from an outside source in order to drive people from their intrinsic wiring.
Well, absolutely. And it's interesting that the article concludes with this quote, "Still many misconceptions persist in the popular culture, namely that homosexuality is genetic." How many times have you heard people say, well, they're born that way?
Oh.
And so we shouldn't judge because God made them that way. Did God make them that way?
No, God made them male and female.
That's right.
And he gave them the desire to leave and cleave to one another.
And since God can't be the author of sin, and he has made it clear that homosexuality is a sin, he can't be the author of that. Now, he can surrender them to their lustful desires, as Romans says.
Yes.
He turns them over because they have indicated that they are depraved and not interested in the word of God and what it says and the standard of behavior. So therefore, God can turn them over to their lustful desires, but that doesn't mean he's the author of the sin. The author of the sin is the sinner. And it's interesting that the author notes that this doctor who did the study, Whitehead, says, quote, "The academics who work in the field are not happy with the portrayals by the media on the subject." In other words, the academics don't like the fact. They know better than the idea that homosexuality is genetic, but they don't do anything about it. Okay, what's the reason they don't do anything about it?
Well, I would hypothesize that the reason they don't do anything about it, because if they did step out, they would lose their grant funding and possibly their jobs, just like those who stand out on intelligent design or the idea of a creator in teleology and cosmology would be.
Bingo, it's a third rail. You don't touch the third rail or you lose your funding. That's exactly it. They do the work, they put the studies out, knowing full well that it's going to take guys like you who dug up this article, digging around in small places to see somebody who's putting it all together in a coherent fashion. Because most of the studies that were done, I remember the original twin study that came out years and years and years ago, where this guy set out not to look at it in the scientific way, which is to determine what the facts were. He set out to prove that homosexuality was genetic. He said so when he did the study. Now, what did he prove to himself? He published that his findings said that. But later, when he got into trouble in peer review, he came out and said, well, it really kind of points the other direction. It doesn't say it's genetic at all. Now, did you know that? I only knew it because I dug it up years ago.
Yes.
When somebody cited the study and I said, you need to go back and read what's been done. Yeah, it got published, and I think it got published in Nature. But the fact is, that publication was withdrawn. Nature withdrew that paper.
Well, that's not surprising.
Yeah. And Barry, I'm looking at the clock. We're out of time.
Okay.
Join us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.